This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So when you do start your reflecting on a page, mark out the verses that really strike you. There'll be some verses that will just strike you more than others because they're more relevant to you, or they just ring true for something. Mark them out. Mark the translation. And then repeat them when you need. SubhanAllah. You know, I think as human beings, we need moments of reflection. So when you just... Especially, I will say, when you've had a really good time, then it's a time to reflect, just to kind of earth us again, just to ground us again. Sometimes some people read verses of the Quran. Some people read or listen to certain nasheeds or say some poetry. It's just very, very profound. And believe me, the Quran has multiple verses like this that can help to ground us. So pick your verses that just help you, whatever that verse is. And you'll make your selection as you go along, as you read, you'll make your own selection that are relevant to us. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'd. So what we'll do is we'll continue with the etiquettes, right? So we've done 5 etiquette. We'll continue with the rest of the etiquettes of reading the Quran. One, to get the best out of our recitation now, all of the ones we've just covered, they're to do with the state to be in and the most optimal state and the permissible states. Now what we're going to discuss is how to get the best out of our reading. One should seek protection in Allah before reciting. And most people do. We say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Why do we do that? We don't want shaitan to misrepresent anything, for us to be misunderstanding something. We can still misunderstand, but at least it's not from the shaitan. Then it's just to our inadequate knowledge if we're trying to understand and we get it wrong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nahl, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. When you recite the Qur'an, seek Allah's protection from the outcast Satan. And we do that by أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. You can do any of those. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Any kind of seeking refuge is fine. Reciting this dua though, is not necessary. Like if you started reading without that, it'd be fine, but it's just not the adab to do so. We want to seek protection from the shaitan before we do this. Okay, number 7. When you recite, we should recite with reflection and pondering. Now, the author is an Egyptian. He's probably writing for Arabs who understand what they're reading, or they better understand what they're reading, or they should. What about the rest of us who don't understand what we're reading? Well, we do the best that we can. But this is what he says. He says that you should recite with reflection and pondering. I guarantee you, even us, there's words that we can ponder over. If you're not reading with a translation, there'll be certain words that will allow us to ponder. But this is what I'm encouraging. MashaAllah, this Ramadan you're reading, right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our Quran khatams that we do. But I'm going to suggest that at least once a day, do one page a day. Start off with just one page a day of reflection. Meaning, in all of your reading that you're doing before, after Fajr, after your work, after Asr, Maghrib, whenever you're reading, you take a translation and you do reflection of at least one page. You can get translations everywhere now, online, everywhere. Whichever translation you want, at least reflect on one page. Just read it with thought. Even if you don't understand Arabic, read the translation. You will see an improvement and an enhancement and an increase, multitude, inshallah, in. And that's the only way you can learn about Allah, through the Quran. Because that's Allah speaking, He tells us so much about Himself. So start reading with meaning, one page a day. Start off with that and then you'll see that you'll just want to increase. You'll want to read the whole Quran. And you'll be wondering, like, why didn't I do this for the last 50 years? The last 30 years, last 20 years. You need to start doing that. Right. You got a translation? Yeah? Okay. So one should recite with reflection and pondering, with deliberation and devotion. the purpose of it until the heart becomes soft, the soul becomes humbled, and one becomes overwhelmed with awe of Allah. That will happen when you read, when you start understanding Allah directly, all of this will happen. You can't stay arrogant if you start reading the Quran with this kind of focus. It's very powerful. Until one becomes overwhelmed with the awe, the reverential fear, power, control, majesty, authority, might, and the strength of Allah, will discover all of these things. This will eventually then reflect in one's limbs and character. If you want a good character, then read Quran that way. He says that deep reflection is the main objective and the most important goal of reciting the Quran. By it, the soul finds solace and the heart is illuminated. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, verse 82 says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Will they not then reflect on the Quran? You need any more proof, any more encouragement? Allah is saying, will they not reflect on the Quran? Not just the way it looks and is published very well, this edition, and it looks beautiful, and the pages are so nice, but the wording, subhanAllah. Another verse in Surah Sa'd 29, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. This is a blessed scripture which we have sent down to you so that people may ponder on its verses. People may ponder on its verses and those with understanding take heed. One of the great Egyptian scholars, his name was Ibrahim al-Khawas. He said that the cure of the heart lies in five things. Reciting the Quran with deep reflection. Curing the heart, right? If you want to cure the heart, I think this might work cardiologically as well to a certain degree. He's talking about spiritually, but from a cardiological perspective, let's see if this works, right? Number one, reciting the Quran with deep reflection. I would say that this is cardiologically as well because the Quran is a shifa. We're giving you a shifa. Okay, number one. Number two, the emptiness of the stomach. That's definitely good for the heart. Not starving yourself to death, but emptiness of the stomach means not even eating too much. Standing for the night prayer. I don't know what the doctors would say about that. But standing for the night prayer, definitely good for the spiritual heart though, right? Supplication before dawn, good for medically as well. Because du'as, right? Supplication before dawn, this is suhoor time. And we've got a good opportunity in Ramadan now, right? Because you're waking up for suhoor. Don't let a day pass of Ramadan, if you haven't done it already, from tonight, that you don't do tahajjud. It's easy to do two rakats while you wake up to eat. Two rakats and do some du'a. And if you can pull these next 20 something days with that, inshallah, Allah will open up the door for tahajjud for the rest of the year. I know it's difficult usually, but now in Ramadan it's easy because people wake up for suhoor anyway. May Allah make that easy for us. Now look at this. He says, it is also praiseworthy to repeat any single verse that one wishes to. So when you're reading and a verse just overwhelms you, and there's some verse that just captures you, captivates you, well, go read it over and over again. Absolutely fine. Nothing wrong with that. With the intention of reflecting on its meaning and pondering its significance. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continuously repeated a single verse in his prayer until the morning. What was that? إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. For his ummah, subhanAllah. For his ummah. Not for himself. This was for the ummah. And if you punish them, they are your servants. So you can punish them if you want to. But if you forgive them, you are the Almighty, the Wise. Meaning you could have punished them. You're not in a state of helplessness that you can't punish them, so you're not punishing them. You can, you're the Almighty. So you can definitely punish them if you want to, but you choose not to. It's a subtle way of pleading with Allah not to. That's what the Prophet read the whole night. Allah send his abundant blessings on our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's reported from another Sahabi, Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu, that he continuously repeated the following verse until the morning.
أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اجْتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَن نَجْعَلَهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَوَاءً مَحْيَاهُمْ وَمَمَاتُهُمْ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ
Do those who commit evil deeds think that we will deal with them in the same way as those who believe and do righteous deeds? That they will be alike in their living and their dying, and their dying, how badly do they judge? The people who do good deeds, they will be in a special state. May Allah make us of them. Sa'id ibn Jubayr, another tabi'i, he repeated the following verse in his prayer 20 or so times.
وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ
Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 281. Beware of a day when you will be returned to Allah. Every soul will be paid in full for what it has earned, and no one will be wronged. 20-something times he recited this. You can only do this. So when you do start your reflecting on a page, mark out the verses that really strike you. There'll be some verses that will just strike you more than others because they're more relevant to you, or they just ring true for something. Mark them out. Mark the translation. And then repeat them when you need. SubhanAllah. You know, I think as human beings, we need moments of reflection. So when you just... Especially, I will say, when we've had a really good time, then it's a time to reflect, just to kind of earth us again, just to ground us again. Sometimes some people read verses of the Quran. Some people read or listen to certain nasheeds or say certain poetry. It's just very, very profound. And believe me, the Quran has multiple verses like this that can help to ground us. So pick your verses that just help you, whatever that verse is. And you'll make your selection as you go along, as you read, you'll make your own selection that are relevant to us. So Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi alayh, he continuously repeated the following verse in prayer.
وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا
He must just, I mean, I can just imagine what it means. If you tried to count Allah's favors and blessings on you, you would not be able to calculate them. I can just imagine that he was there thinking, this blessing, that blessing, that blessing, this blessing, and I've got this, and I've got that, and Allah's given me this, and Allah's given me that. And he just kept reading this. That's exactly what Allah wants us to do with him. These verses are relevant to us as well. Somebody asked him about this. He said, what are you doing? He said, I see a lesson therein. I see a lesson therein. Wherever my eye looks, I see a blessing. And the blessings of Allah that are not known are even more, that I can't even think about right now. We could spend the whole life thinking of the blessings. La ilaha illallah. And it's been reported that many of our other pious predecessors, they would continuously repeat a single verse. Any verse, whatever that is, you can do that. It is also praiseworthy to cry while reciting the Quran. It is a characteristic of the knowers of the and the emblem of the righteous servants of Allah. Why is it a sign for the knowers of Allah that they cry? Because they know Allah more than anybody else, or they know Allah well or sufficiently. So when you know Allah, then when you know someone enough, then you can really understand the secrets and subtleties of what they're saying. When you know somebody well, sometimes people talk in veiled languages. They say certain things not in a full manner. But if you've worked with people for a long time, you know somebody very well. When they say something in a particular tone or certain words, you know what they're talking about. You get to know Allah like that, then you can much more benefit from the verses of the Quran. And then after that, you're just frightened that you get it wrong. Or you're just awestruck. I don't want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see me in a place that I shouldn't be. Or to be thinking in a way that I shouldn't be thinking. So it's just this consciousness, this taqwa that appears. May Allah give us the tawfiq for that. Imam Ghazali, rahimah, he says, it is praiseworthy to cry when reciting the Quran. The way to do this is to bring the heart. How do you cry when reading the Quran? Well, you're going to have to... The only time we see usually people cry is if there's a reader who has a tone a melody that is a crying melody, because music has is one of the most powerful forces in the world. Music is one of the most powerful forces in the world. What I mean by music, I don't mean just instruments. Instruments are very powerful, but also singing, the voice, melody, according to a certain rhythm. Certain melodies can put you to sleep. Certain melodies can wake you up. Certain melodies can make you jump up and dance, get you excited, right? That's what music does. And certain can make you sad, make you feel grief, make you feel sorrow. It's in there, it's in the tone, because humans resonate with that and react to that. So we don't want it that it's only those readers who do that that make us cry because they're reading so wonderfully and we don't know what we're saying. We need to move beyond that to the actual wording. And if that then is coupled with a reader who makes you cry, then subhanAllah, then that crying will be amazing. It'll be much better than the usual crying that you get from just crying because of the voice. And don't think it's beyond you. Believe me, try this. Just one page a day of reflection. If it's too much, I mean, you have to get used to it, you know, and you have to kind of understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can do more, absolutely, but just at least do one page a day, right? Take as long as you want. The way to cry when reading the Quran is to develop a state of melancholy by pondering the threats and admonitions that are in the Quran, as well as the promises and the guarantees. You interact with that. Thereafter, one should ponder over one's own shortcomings. So you do this kind of reflection that Allah has given us so much, but we have been so bad and we've not done enough. And then you just feel that guilt, and guilt helps a person cry. I've done that a lot of times. If I want to cry, you just feel guilty. You just feel, man, Allah has given me so much. I've not done enough. What a despicable human being I am. And you just break down. Your arrogance goes down the drain. That's really, really helpful. So if one is not overcome by a state of melancholy and crying as the elite are, then one should cry for not being able to cry. Allahu Akbar. He says, if you can't cry for the right reason, then you should cry that I can't cry, so I should cry because of that. What a bad person I am. Because that's a greater calamity. Okay, we're just going to finish off one or two more points quickly. Whenever one recites a verse mentioning promise and mercy, one should pause, ponder on its meaning, find joy in what Allah has promised, take it as a glad tiding. See, you're going to get this interaction, which you don't get when you don't understand what you're reading, right? There's just this amazing interaction. So if it's a promise, you're just like, yes, that promise is for me. Inshallah, that promise is for me. And then you ask Allah for paradise. When one recites a verse mentioning punishment, one should seek Allah's protection from evil, seek his refuge from punishment, and should fear for themselves. When there's a verse of forgiveness, seeking forgiveness, one should seek forgiveness for one's sins. When there's a verse of repentance, one should turn back to Allah. If there's a verse talking about the flawlessness of Allah and his completeness and perfection, you should declare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be perfect and free of faults. Subhanallah. If one recites a verse of dua in the Quran, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةٍ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ, one should stop and call on to Allah and ask Him for that dua. And if when they come across the verse in Surah Al-Ahzab, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, which basically means that Allah and His angels bless the Prophet, so you who believe, bless him too and send him greetings of peace. Or anywhere else where the Prophet ﷺ is mentioned, send salawat on the Prophet ﷺ. And then of course, when you go past the verses of sajda, do a sajda. Don't miss those. If you can't do it straight away, do it later. If you've read the whole Quran and for some reason you didn't do the from past years, do them. The only one that gets cancelled is if you read a verse of sajda in the Quran, in the salat, and then you forgot to do it then, you can't do that one afterwards. But if you read it any other time, you should. Why should we do sajda verses? And we'll stop here for today. The reason we do sajda, you might be wondering, there's 14 places we do sajda and we go by the marks, right? A lot of people like, yes you do, you know, when you see that verse, it's got something to do with sajda, right? So usually what it is that it's saying, for Allah do they prostrate. So then we prostrate to show that we are doing this for Allah. Or it says something like, they don't prostrate. When they call for prostration, they don't prostrate. we prostrate. So we're literally, and this is obligatory. All the other responses to the Quran, like Alaysa Allahu bi ahkamil hakimin bala, those are optional. This one is a necessary response. That when you read these verses, you have to prostrate. Otherwise, it's just like, what kind of ungrateful people you are that, you know, it's talking about prostration and you don't demonstrate that. Best time to prostration is straight away. Unless it's a time when you can't, you need wudu for prostration. Right? So if you can't, then you do it later. But that do make up for them if you haven't done them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to prostrate. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the prostrating ones. MashaAllah, we've just had one. Alhamdulillah. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله يا معدن الجود والكرم يا أكرم الأكرمين ويا خير المسؤولين ويا خير المعطين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا الله bless us يا الله we ask you for your generosity يا الله we ask you for your kindness and your mercy. This is a month of kindness. This is a month of mercy, a month of forgiveness, a month of blessing. Oh Allah, we ask you for all of these things, to shower us with this, to envelope us, to drench us in your mercies, in your blessings. Oh Allah, we know we are sinful. We know we have many things that prevent your mercy from coming to us. But oh Allah, we know that your generosity knows no bounds. Your mercy and your forgiveness, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive us. Ya Allah, forgive us. Ya Allah, forgive us. Oh Allah, purify us during this month. This month has started, a few days have passed. Oh Allah, days are going fast already. Don't let this month pass and we have not received forgiveness. We have not been exonerated from the hellfire. Oh Allah, every night you are writing people to be free of hellfire. Make us of those. Put us on that list. Oh Allah, we try, but we keep failing. We make an effort, we have a desire. That's why we're sitting here today. But oh Allah, we keep failing. Oh Allah, grant us the strength and fortitude to live this life with iman and with strength, and that we do the right thing and we are protected from the wrong things and the distractions and the problems out there. Oh Allah, there are multiple problems, multiple issues. Oh Allah, grant us a hayatan tayyiba in a way that we can actually worship you properly. Elevate us through the Quran, bless us through the Quran, beautify us through the Quran, illuminate us from the Quran, make us closer to you through the Quran. Oh Allah, grant us the ability to respect the Quran, to recite the Quran with correctness, with understanding, with reflection, to interact with the Quran, to be blessed by the Quran. Oh Allah, to understand your words. Oh Allah, to understand what you're saying. To speak to you directly. To listen to you directly. Oh Allah, make us of those who will listen to you directly so that our hearts will become soft. And our hearts will be prepared to enter into your pure court. Oh Allah, do not throw us away on the day of judgment. Do not turn you away from us. Do not refuse to look at us. Do not turn your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam away from us. Oh Allah, bless us. Bless all those who are listening. All those who want who desire you. And oh Allah, make us the way you want us to be. And bless all of those who establish these masajid and these programs and who work for the betterment of the Muslim community, and accept us all for the service of your deen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifuna wa salamun ala mursaleen walhamdulillah.
The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules, and at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.